kingdom against kingdom, Mark 13:8. And there shall be earthquakes in divers places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginning of sorrows. Amen. But take heed to yourselves, for they shall deliver you up to councils, and in the synagogues ye shall be beaten, and ye shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. Now, folks, I'm going to talk about last things for a little while. I want you to notice in the 9th verse here, take heed to yourselves, they shall deliver you up to councils and in the synagogues. Now, folks, that's Jewish language, if you please. The synagogue is a Jewish a foundation. Amen. And so there's going to be a revival of Jewish things in the last things, last days. Amen. And it's going to be a strange, twisted form of Judaism. Amen. They will have, by this time, signed a covenant with a fellow that we know, which will later prove out to be the Antichrist. Not an Antichrist, but the Antichrist. Amen. There is a difference. Even now, John said there are many Antichrists. Amen. And there's a new bunch of books coming out, you know, that this Saddam Hussein is the Antichrist. No, Saddam is not the Antichrist. He is an Antichrist. He is one of the many that will be loosed in the earth as we come on down to last thing. There are many ideas about the Antichrist. Amen. Among the Jews, there's going to be a real revival. 144,000 will be sealed from out from among the tribes of Israel. Amen. Sealing is a term which the Bible uses. Amen. And we would look at it like this. Paul said in Ephesians, in whom also after that ye had believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. There's going to be some marking characteristic about the 144,000, which we know to be the outpouring of the Holy Ghost on that group that are sealed during the first half of the Great Tribulation. These evangelists will be supernaturally sustained and maintained and saved and delivered and kept through that first 3.5 years and then caught up right in the middle of the tribulation. Amen. They'll be caught up in the figure of the man-child, Revelations chapter 12. The woman being Israel, clothed with the sun, moon under her feet, travailing in birth. Yes, that fits the Bible. When Zion travails, they will travail in that day. It'll be a time of trouble for Zion. Mixed up and deluded, and they will hail those that believe, those converts of the 144,000 into the synagogue and beat them and betray them. And it's going to be a terrible time of persecution. It'll be such a terrible time of persecution in the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. That's Revelation chapter 6. And on down, amen, after the sealing of the 144,000, in Revelation chapter 7, in the end of the 7th chapter, he said, I saw a number that no man could number, stand before God with palms in their hand. These are the tribulation converts of the first 3.5 years. These are those that were converted by the ministry of that 144,000 anointed of God. When Joel 2:28 is completely fulfilled, and it says in Jerusalem and in Mount Zion, there shall be deliverance, and I want to pour out my spirit upon all flesh. You see, they had a token fulfillment on the day of Pentecost. And for some 40 years, they had a church in Jerusalem. But there never was 144,000 saved out of Jerusalem. Amen. Probably 50,000 more or less. Amen. Nobody knows. And they had to flee. When the Roman legions begin to march and surround the city, they already had the word from God. When you see the army surround Jerusalem, flee. And they did flee. They fled into beyond Jordan, into their Pella, and those 10 cities beyond Jordan. And according to Josephus and other historians and writers, there were no Christians died in the siege of Jerusalem under Titus. They left. They did what God told them to do. They got out. Praise God. Amen. There have been many antichrists down through the ages. Amen. Some writers, good men, that didn't understand fully the scripture. They will tell you, and you can read it, pulpit commentary and other writings, that Antiochus Epiphanes was the Antichrist. And the sow that he offered on the altar was the abomination that maketh desolate. Amen. Antiochus Epiphanes was an Antichrist. And the sow was an abomination. And it did make Jerusalem desolate, but it was not the Antichrist, and not the abomination that maketh desolate. Amen. Nero had a lot to do in so much that he was proclaimed Antichrist, and so strongly believed that he was the Antichrist. Nero was in power as Christianity spread throughout the Roman Empire. Nero was the one that ordered Rome burnt so he could build his dream city from out of the ashes. Amen. And he sought someone to blame for it. And he blamed the Christians, which brought terrible persecution under Nero, insomuch that many people are preaching that Nero is going to be resurrected and he will be the Antichrist. No, no, no. The Bible said the dead in Christ shall rise first, not Nero. Amen. Hallelujah. No, Nero's in hell. And he's going to stay there. But that Antichrist spirit that possessed him will possess a whole bunch more. Amen. Down through the ages, the writings and books have bred a whole passel of Antichrist. I'm telling you, from Constantine to Theodosius, amen, right on down to the Catholic prelates, amen, and right on down to Mussolini and Hitler and Stalin, and they could even spell their names out in Hebrew and Greek or one or the other. Amen. And some of them, they could add them up and get a number. 666. Well, I'll tell you, all of them were antichrists. But they were not the Antichrist. Amen. I often put it like this. I told you about my tire that blew out over in Missouri. I put a lot of air in it without a gauge over in Wickliffe, Kentucky. Amen. I noticed my right front tire was going down, was low. And so, boy, I put a lot of air in it. Amen. I intended to get all the way to Salem, Arkansas, if possible. I noticed there was a sort of a vibration. Thump, 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 thump. And the faster I drove, the more it was like a vibration instead of a thump, thump, thump. But I didn't pay attention to it. I remembered that little knot where I had plugged a hole in the tire. And I thought, well, probably a little separation there. It'll probably get me to Salem, Arkansas. Amen. And I just barely made it to the outskirts, 4 miles out of Poplar Bluff, Missouri. That right front tire exploded. All the swarm of Antichrist that people have come up down through the ages, they were Antichrist as surely as there's a bump on a tire. Amen. And every time one of them hit and went thump, somebody said, it's the Antichrist. Amen. It was an Antichrist. And there have been many of them. And they're partly right. There have been many down through the ages. But there's a difference in Antichrist and the Antichrist. Amen. There's a difference in sons of God and the Son of God. There's a difference in sons of perdition and the Son of Perdition. Boy, there's going to be one in the last day that's going to fit that the. That the denotes only. The only one of his kind. We talk about the Son of God, we mean the only one of his kind. There are many sons of God, that's what you are. John said, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We're not like him yet. We get sick sometimes. Our body gets weak. If time goes on, we'll die. We're going to have to put on a new body. We're going to have to get into that resurrection glory. Amen. And become like him. Hallelujah. Someday we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Amen. There's a difference in Antichrists, plural, and the Antichrist. Amen. Some people preach, and I've heard Jack Cole preach, that Judas would be the Antichrist. Because it says he was the son of perdition. Amen. Well, Judas was a son of perdition, all right. And he was the son of perdition in his day. And he was Antichrist. Amen. But Judas came at the wrong time. Amen. And Judas is not going to be resurrected out of his place. The Bible said that he might go to his own place. He's not going to leave that place and come back and be the Antichrist. Amen. Even though the is the adjective, amen, that characterizes Judas. Judas is not the Antichrist of the tribulation period. He lived too early. He was the Antichrist of Christ's sojourn on earth, the first one. He, amen, betrayed the Lord. He dipped with him in the sop. He had a share in his ministry. Isn't it amazing? The spirit of Antichrist can sit right beside you in church. And sometimes you don't know it. Amen. Are these not all spots, the Bible said, in your feast of charity? Lord, I'd hate to be a spot, wouldn't you? Amen. Just a big old black, dirty spot. Praise God. I'd like to be a blessing. I'd like to be a light, wouldn't you? I'd hate to be a troublemaker. I'd like to be a peacemaker, wouldn't you? Amen. I'd like to be a blessing, wouldn't you? Praise God. But Judas Iscariot was not the Antichrist that's coming. Not the last one of the last days. Ah, Judas was the son of perdition for his time. But he's not the one of the last 7-year period that's going to reign in Babylon. Amen. Now here's where we sometimes get mixed up on our prophecy. We mistake the spirit of Antichrist and the person. And we say the person was the Antichrist. When really, amen, the spirit of the Antichrist was on him. There's a difference. Amen. When John the Baptist came, he came in the spirit and the power of Elijah. Amen. But he wasn't Elijah. Amen. And Jesus made that clear. He said, Elijah shall truly first come. Shall is future sense. Amen. But he's already come if you just receive it. And they've done to him whatsoever they listed. Amen. In other words, the spirit of Elijah, God turned them golden pipes up there in heaven, those two olive trees. One of those golden pipes, amen, it runs oil from that olive tree. Turn it on John. Amen. And Elijah, who's been up there in heaven, he's one of those olive trees Zechariah told us about. Amen. And they turned that golden pipe on Elijah. Amen. And Elijah had the same spirit. Excuse me, upon John the Baptist, and John the Baptist had the same spirit that Elijah had. But John the Baptist wasn't Elijah. He was a little over 2,000 years too early. But he fulfilled the prophecy concerning Elijah, Elias, it's spoken out of the New Testament, because he had the spirit and the power of Elijah. Amen. But the Jews are still looking for Elijah. And the Bible still prophesies, amen, the coming of Elijah. And the last thing Malachi said, I'll send you Elijah the prophet before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. And he'll turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers. Amen. Boy, what a ministry that is. What day that'll be when the boys quit calling their dad the old man and start calling him father and saying yes, sir, and no, sir. Amen. And showing respect for the father. That's going to be a great day, isn't it? Amen. Our children are victims of our time. If they don't get it at home watching TV, they'll get it at school playing with the other kids. Amen. And so we got a battle to keep the right spirit in our home. And Elijah's going to turn the hearts of the children to the fathers and the father to the children. And of course, that means in the greater sense, amen, we're going to be turned to God our Father. And God will be inclined toward us because we listen. That's the people that hear Elijah's preaching. The Jews had Passover. Just a few days ago, amen, I was invited to a Passover in Kansas City. One of my board members was a maintenance man at a Jewish geriatric center. That's a fancy 2-bit 12-cylinder name for a Jewish old folks home. Amen. He was invited, and I was invited, and so I went. And we ate dinner with the Jews. And at the end of every table, there was an empty plate. And to this day, they set an empty plate at the end of every table at Passover. Because the Jews know that before the Messiah come, Elijah's got to come and clear the road and pave the way. Amen. So Elijah is coming back. Amen. He'll be one of the two witnesses in the last 3.5-year period of the tribulation, the great tribulation, the worst part, where the wrath is poured out without mixture. Amen. And they'll be killed at the end of that period and lay 3.5 days in the city of Jerusalem. Bible's plain about that, where our Lord was crucified. Revelation chapter 11. Amen. And we know where he's crucified, Jerusalem. And that's where they're going to lie 3 days in the streets of Jerusalem. And the world is going to look at them and they're going to have a big celebration. Amen. at Passover. Ah, praise God, folks. Amen. Easter is already past. Resurrection and crucifixion is already past. And it's a sight. What a heyday that the merchants have had selling rabbits and chickens and ducks and eggs and candy and everything else and everything in the world except what the Bible teaches about Easter. Amen. Woo, glory to God. But Pentecost is coming. But you know what? The merchants, they take backwater on that one. You'd think, boy, they'd have another holiday and the merchants would sell doves by the multiplied thousands, typical of the Spirit. Amen. And I better not say too much or they'll start a new fad. Amen. They'll start selling doves and fire and everything else. Amen. But they don't have a merchant's day on Pentecost because it's too hot to handle. Woo, glory to God. Pentecost has got to be an experience. Can you say amen? Amen. You can't make a picnic out of Pentecost. Praise God. I mean, you seek God and you tarry and you lay down everything and you leave behind everything. And amen. I mean, tie the cows up with the calves, amen, and turn the calves in with the cows and turn them all out to pasture and go to church. You go to church all the time if you're Pentecost. Amen. You don't miss out for any old little old excuse. You go to church all the time. Amen. And you're faithful. Now there's a good reason for that. Amen. If you got any influence at all, you'll witness to somebody and they may take a notion to come to church sometime or other, but I can't count on my fingers and toes the times that people have come into my church looking for the one that invited them and they wasn't there. That's why you need to be faithful to your home church. If you're not faithful to your home church, I don't care what kind of ministry you got, I don't care how far around the world you're going, amen, you need to be faithful to your home church whenever you can, because you're going to miss the fruit of your own testimony. Amen, if you're not faithful, amen. And you'll fail to reap the harvest of your own sowing if you're not faithful. Praise God. So you got to be faithful to your home church. Amen. And Pentecost goes to church. Amen. Pentecostal people tarry until they're endued with power from on high. Oh, we'd like to have revival. You know what kind of revival they want? They want to get a good mixer. Amen. A preacher that's fasted and prayed, that's got a personality like David, that sings like David, preaches like Paul. Amen. And can be a leader like St. Peter. Amen. And him do it all. Yeah. But I'll tell you what. If King David was a pastor and Paul was the youth pastor and Peter was a Sunday school superintendent, you still couldn't have revival if the people didn't get with it. Amen. You're going to have to get with it. You're going to have to seek God. Hallelujah. Hey, those 12 disciples influenced, 108 more people to come to that prayer meeting. And 120 were there on the day of Pentecost. Praise God. That's how to be ready for the last day. Amen. You need to have your Pentecost. And if the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, it shall also quicken your mortal bodies. Hallelujah. If your spirit is not sufficient to drag you out of bed on Sunday morning and bring you to the house of God, it probably won't take you out of this world when the rapture takes place. If you can lay in the bed and snore on Sunday, amen, and lay up or lay out on Wednesday, amen, and miss church biggest part of the time for very little of an excuse. If you ain't got enough power to bring you to church, you ain't got enough power to go in the rapture. Amen. And there's a whole lot of folks ain't going. There'll be plenty of folks left to keep the church going after the real church is gone. Come on. Amen. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what ye shall speak, neither do ye premeditate. Now that's not talking to preachers studying for the ministry. That's talking to people that's in the midst of great tribulation and terrible persecution, and they're about to be martyrs, and the Lord's coming to the rescue. Amen. Now, if you're going to do much preaching nowadays, you better do a lot of meditating. You better do a lot of reading. You better do your memory work while you're young, and start young, amen, and get something worthwhile to give to the people. Amen. If you work all your life, and you don't live by faith, you ain't going to have time to wait on God. If you work all your life and you don't live by faith, you ain't going to have time to pray and seek God. If you work all your life and you don't live by faith, you ain't going to have time to study. And after a while, you ain't going to have nothing to feed the people with. And they'll go somewhere else. Amen. They'll go where they can get fed. Amen. Now, most folks will do that. They'll go where they can get fed. Now, there's a whole bunch today that don't want to be fed. They don't want to hear much preaching. They don't want to hear much truth. It's painful. It's like looking at the light when you've been in a dark hole, a dungeon for a long time, trapped in a coal mine. They had to put blindfold on them guys down in Kentucky when they brought them out because they'd been in dark so long they couldn't stand the light. Some folks don't want much preaching. Amen. I mean, a whole lot of glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Is all they care for. Amen. That's about all they want. Amen. A lot of flattery, a lot of soft soap. The trouble about soft soap is that it's 50% lie. Amen. It'll catch on after a while. Praise God. Amen. glory to God. And that's the way you make soap. You use a whole lot of fat and a whole lot of lie and mix it together. And that makes soap. That's the way Mama used to make soap. Butchering time. Mama would take those cracklings and make homemade soap. And if us kids wasn't careful about the language we use, she'd wash our mouth out with it too. There's a lot of parents need to wash their kids' mouth out with homemade soap. Amen. I give you my permission to use Lifebuoy or Dial or anything else. Amen. But a lot of kids need to quit smarting off to their parents. I mean, little old kid, I mean, no bigger than nothing, 3 years old, look up at their mama and say, I hate you. Now, my kids would have found themselves getting up off the floor, clear on the other side of the room if they'd have said, I hate you. And that's what I want to do to theirs when they say, I hate you. Amen. But we got a lot of Antichrist spirits today. Amen. In the world. Hallelujah. Oh, they may say it once, but that'll be the last time. Amen. Oh, no, they'll never want, they'll get enough that they'll remember saying it. Amen. Oh, yes, Austin was giving his dad trouble in Dale Church when he was a little kid. And they just couldn't make him behave, couldn't make him be quiet. And so Lee Irvin Austin's dad, amen, took him outside. That's where he wanted to go. He said, I will go outside. And so Lee took him and wore him out. Amen. And so about the next service, Austin said, I'll go outside. Oh, you want to go outside, do you? No. That was the last they ever heard out of Austin about going outside. Amen. You quit spatting around at them and wear them out. Quit arguing with your kids and wear them out. Amen. Praise God. Now brothers shall betray brother to death. Nowadays they'll do that. Antichrist spirit's loose in the land. Amen. My cousin was about to whip her little boy because he'd hit the other little brother. And a guy come along from school there in Salem, Arkansas, said, if you whip that kid, I'll call the law. She said, but he hit him. I said, I don't care if he did. If you whip that child, I'm going to call the law. Boy, I tell you, there'd been two got whipped that day if I'd have been there. I'd have whipped him and the kid both. Amen. I'd have sent one school teacher down the road with stripes. Amen. He'd have believed in the stars and stripes. Amen. Before I'd have got done with him, I'd have took a limb to both of them. Amen. Now brother shall betray brother to death, and father the son, and the children shall rise up against their parents, and shall cause them to be put to death. We didn't think that could happen. I know a family that has come here to church several times. They had to lock every door in their house, every bedroom in their house, because of their boy who was a drug addict. Nobody was safe. Nothing was safe in that house. They had to lock every door in their house. They never did get into Pentecost very deep, and they were a Catholic family. Amen. But I'll tell you what, it's not all roses out yonder where they've got an easy gospel. Amen. Hey. Amen. It was dangerous to be a member of that family. We didn't think that people could treat their parents like they do, murder their father and their mother. Amen. And you'd have to lock every door, everything up. Amen. Until the drug culture took over. And now people kill their own daddy or their own mother for a fix. They'll rob their own children for a fix. We're living in that time. The spirit of Antichrist is in the land. We're getting the framework built. I was in Poland just before the Pope came to Poland. And we went to a big park one day where they were building a gigantic platform that the Pope was going to speak from. And I climbed through the two befores. Amen. I was there first. Amen. And I saw the structure that they were building. Amen. Oh, yeah. The Pope was coming. Amen. Well, the groundwork has been laid. The structure's been built. The platform is already here. And everything's in focus. Amen. We've got gigantic computers. We've got a number system in the world. Now, you don't have to worry about computers. You don't have to worry about Social Security. Brother Vernie Green never would get on Social Security, never would get a Social Security number, because he thought that was the mark of the beast. Amen. No, it's not. Amen. When I leave here in the rapture, I'm going to take my 431-5180, 431-56-5180 with me, or leave it behind for anybody that wants it. Amen. Hallelujah. I mean, Social Security is not the mark of the beast. Amen. These little chips that they've got, microchips that they can mark you with and find you anywhere in the world, that's not the mark of the beast. But if I was the beast and I had any sense, I'd use it when I take over. The computers today are not the mark of the beast. But if I was the Antichrist and I had any sense, I'd use the computers. I'd use all those revolving satellites to track everybody down and keep everybody under control. Amen. The platform is being built, folks. But you don't have to worry about it, because the church is going in the rapture. Hallelujah. The church is going to, and this is a Bible term, get ready, get a hold of your seat. Wait, maybe you better turn loose, because the church is going to escape. Hallelujah. The Bible said, amen, pray that you may be accounted worthy to escape. The world shall not escape. Praise God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Amen. They shall not escape. When it comes on them like travail upon a woman in the trial, they'll not escape. But you are not ordained for wrath. Amen. You, that's why we came to a compromise years ago. Since we were not appointed unto wrath, and the last 3.5 years of tribulation is the wrath of God poured out without mixture, we all decided, almost without exception, that the church is going out in the middle of the tribulation period. Well, amen, that's called mid-trib. And folks, there's a whole bunch that are going out mid-trib. Amen, 144,000 is going out mid-trib. And everybody that they got saved is going out mid-trib. Hallelujah. And they're going to escape the wrath of God too. But they'll be here in the first part of the tribulation period. Amen. Years ago I was having a Bible study on Book of Revelation. And a brother here on the front seat who liked me awful well, he said, "I don't care what anyone says. You can't prove to me by the Bible that anybody is going to get saved after the church is gone. I just have one question to ask you. Where in the Book of Revelation does the church go out?" Amen. And I don't care where you take the church out. If you take it out in the 4th chapter, the 6th chapter, or the 7th chapter, there's still people going to get saved after the church is gone. There's folks going to get saved after all the good preachers are gone. In that last 3.5 years, when God almost runs out of preachers, good people's all caught up to meet the Lord in the air. An angel is going to fly from one end of heaven to the other, preaching the everlasting gospel. And another angel is going to fly from one end of heaven to the other, saying, "Come out of Babylon!" Amen! And there's some folks going to hear their preaching. And they're going to get saved. Right under the nose of the Antichrist. Woo! Glory to God. Amen. You say, "Well, Brother Collins, everybody's going to take the mark of the beast." Not everybody. There's a whole Jewish nation that's going to flee to the wilderness for 3.5 years. And they're not going to take the mark of the beast. Amen. And in that terrible time of persecution, hallelujah, they're going to cry out to Jesus finally and get saved. And Jesus is going to answer their prayer, and He's going to come with 10,000s of His heavenly host, amen, riding on a white horse, and He's going to save them in one day. And Romans chapter 11, all Israel shall be saved. Amen. Saved in one day's time. Praise God. Oh, there's a whole bunch going to get saved right under the nose of the Antichrist, the man of sin, during great tribulation. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, now brother shall betray brother to death, and the father the son, and the children shall rise up against their parents, and shall cause them to be put to death. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that shall endure to the end, right up to the end, shall be saved. If so, it's going to have to endure to the end. They didn't make it out with the church. They didn't go out with 144,000. Amen. But when you see the abomination of desolation, that word's used in Matthew 24, amen, and used not necessarily in that terms in other scriptures, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, amen, 13th chapter of the book of Revelation, and Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, amen, and Daniel prophesies in Daniel chapter 9, Daniel chapter 11, about that abomination that maketh desolate, that marks the middle of the week. Exactly. It's the center of the 7-year tribulation period. The 70th week of Daniel. Amen. So, put your dot right there. Everything revolves around the abomination of desolation. Amen. Notice, praise God, that just before that happens, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all nations for a witness. What? Right during the tribulation, this gospel of the kingdom is going to be preached. What about that? Amen. You mean it's going to be preached and those boys not going to get anybody saved? Sure, they're going to get somebody saved. They're not going to hazard their life for nothing. And there's a lot of people going to get saved and they'll know that they're going to die for their faith. But after a while, men see that all it's going to count is living for God. That's all. Amen. Oh yeah, when you see the abomination of desolation, praise God, standing where it ought not, then let him that readeth understand. Then let him that is in Judea flee to the mountains. Amen. Fine, good brother of mine, good friend of mine. I never did hold it against him. I had him come back and preach different times after that. But he said, the Lord showed me that the crucifixion of Christ was the abomination of desolation. And that the first 3.5 years was Christ's ministry. And so we've only got 3.5 years left. Amen. Oh, I can clarify that. In fact, I told him right there at my table. Amen. I proved to him that the crucifixion of Christ could not be the abomination of desolation. And he said, the old gentleman said, I can see that. 2 years or so later, he was sitting right in the same chair, same table, same place. He said, I really believe the Lord showed me that the crucifixion of Christ was the abomination of desolation. Amen. Well, let's look at it. When you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not, let him that read it, let him understand. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains. Was that what they did after the crucifixion and resurrection of the Lord? No. What did Jesus tell them to do? He didn't tell them to flee after he went back to heaven. He said, tarry! Read it in Luke 24. Tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem, praise God. That ought to cancel once and for all that the crucifixion was the abomination of desolation. Cancel it out. Delete that. Because they didn't flee to the mountains. Amen. They stayed in Jerusalem. In fact, they had a church there for 40 years. Amen. And he didn't flee until later when another prophecy was fulfilled and his city was, amen, encompassed about with armies and the Christians escaped. But that prophecy remains for the last time. Last things, folks. There are many abominations that make desolate. One way or another in some place, somewhere, sometime. But it's just like the bump on the tire. It turns over and over. And the cycles of prophecy are there to remind us that something's going to happen in the future. Something's going to happen. Amen. Oh boy, I was standing. I drove in the driveway Friday. Amen. Thursday it was. Drove in the driveway Thursday. And man, we'd had awfulest rain. And then the sun came out. And it was still raining a little bit. And the most beautiful rainbow. Full, complete rainbow. Did anybody else see it? Amen. About 4:30 in the afternoon. And then there came another one, a double rainbow. I ran in the house and my wife's on the phone. And I told her she's talking to somebody on the phone. I said, you're missing the rainbow. And I got my camera finally after I was able to get back out, and part of it was gone. But I took a picture of the rainbow. It means that the storm's over for the time being. It's a sign of God's covenant. Then I went up to Brother Callicott's. I'm sorry I didn't announce Brother Callicott's meeting Wednesday night, but it left my mind, folks. I mean, it was going on, and I didn't even know it was going on. And if a preacher hadn't called Thursday, I wouldn't have known it was still going on. Amen. But I went Thursday night. Then on the way up there, we've heard it all, we know it all, and nobody can tell us anything. Amen. We're bored to death with the truths of God that we've heard so much. What we need to do is pray through and get new fire. Stand with me, Father. Touch our lives and help us to be ready for the last thing. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Come around the altar. Let's pray tonight. As we sing, we invite you to an altar of sweet surrender and preparation, and ask the Lord, God, deliver me from hardness of heart. Lord, deliver me from the spirit of boredom. Lord, deliver me, Lord, from the spirit that don't enjoy the wonderful things of God.
Since I first heard it told, the King Jesus would come again someday. It seems so real that I just can't help but feel how much love.
Oh, I don't hold it against Brother Bernie Green or any of these other folks. There is just the world and its system.